Hello and welcome to QREM and Blackstar. This is Lacey. We are here with Billy Gordon, the endorsed Labor candidate for Leichhardt. How are you going, Billy?
Good morning, Lacey. It's great to be here today.
It's good to see you. So we're in the last 2 weeks of the election. You want to tell us how it's going so far?
Yeah, look, you know, it's obviously the campaign's been going really, really good. It's a good, honest, hard-working grassroots campaign that I've got, and it's built around, I think, the direct voter contact. You know, the strength of our campaign is that we're out there door knocking. We're out there talking to people over the phones. We're out there with street stalls, making ourselves available to the public. I get out there and I do all of that. I don't ask my volunteers to do something that I wouldn't do myself. So most weekends we're out there and doing a lot of that public stuff. I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of the other candidates out there walking the streets.
Well, yeah, I think that's a bit of, that's because I think I'm the underdog. I feel like I am very much the underdog in this campaign. I've got a mountain to climb, so I can't take things for granted. Every minute of my day, I've got to be able to get out there and, like I said, give people the opportunity to firstly meet me, learn a bit about me, but also for me to hear about what are people's concerns and issues, and that's going to be really, really important.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So for the people who might not know you so well, did you want to just tell us a bit about your background?
Sure. Look, I'm an Innisfail boy originally. I grew up there, born and bred, and I worked and lived in far north Queensland throughout my life. And I had a couple of stints interstate. I worked in the sugarcane industry here. I grew up in Innisfail, and as most of us have done, we've followed our father's footsteps into the working in the sugarcane. So that was my first job, working in the sugar. Also worked building houses up in Cape York and the Gulf, Carpentaria. Formerly a member of the 51st Battalion, so I'm an ex-serviceman with the Army Reserve. And also worked with Reconciliation Australia in Canberra and TAFE Queensland here for many years at the Cairns Tropical North Queensland Institute of TAFE here. And more recently, I've worked for 3 years with Sky Trans Airlines as their community relations manager. So I'm quite familiar with a lot of the Cape communities particularly.
That's great. Mm-hmm. It's good to know that there's someone local, like someone who's really come from and been raised in the area.
I think so, you know. I think, obviously, you know, if you're committed here, if you grew up here and you have a lot of, connections to the region and have a bit of an understanding of some of the challenges that, people face. And this electorate, particularly Leichhardt, is one of those hugely diverse electorates. You know, you've got Cairns City down here, the greater Cairns area, and with that they've got their own set of issues that are really, a priority of people, insurance, superannuation, transport issues, roads. Then you've got the Cape York, and they've got a lot of environmental issues. Nonetheless, World Heritage listing, and that's a big issue at the moment. And then you've got the Torres Strait, and there's some issues around border security as well.
So how did you actually get into politics?
Well, look, I've always been a supporter of the Labor Party. I've always voted Labor all my life. It wasn't until about 2008 that I joined the party and took on a role within the party behind the scenes, working locally, one of our branches, and that was out at Mount Isa. Whilst politics hasn't been something I've always, aspired to do, I think a lot of my working history was around working with people, communicating with people, working with people through problems particularly. And I thought, that there was an opportunity for somebody with those skills to come and actually, get involved in politics. I've been a member of the party now since 2008. Coming back to Cairns, I got more involved in politics here, and an opportunity presented itself and I put my hand up because I thought I had value to add. And the value is around new energy. You've got two people in the major parties here contesting this election. You've got somebody, two people at very different ends of the spectrum here when it comes to politics. Somebody that's at the very beginning of their political career, and I think somebody that, I think is well acknowledged that it's, coming towards the end of their political career. And an investment, in somebody like me is an investment in a long-term commitment for Leichhardt, a long-term vision, and that's something I've been advocating and campaigning on for a while.
What are your plans for Far North Queensland?
Yeah, look, some of the broader policies of the Australian Labor Party has been around education, disability care and the NBN. Now, they're three areas that I think are really, really important. They're nation-building policies. It's work that actually looks at making Australia a better place. It's also work. It's also policies that actually bring Australians together. And when I say together, particularly with education, the Gonski, or the Education Reform Package, Improvement Package. I call it education equality, because that's what it is. When I'm out there talking to people on a daily basis about this issue, or this policy, I talk to people about education equality. If you're going to school in the remote parts of the Torres Strait, say if you're going to school in Saibai Island today, then why shouldn't you have the same education that you have here in Smithfield, that students here have in Smithfield? So for me, education, the Federal Labor Party's policy on education is about equality. It's about making sure that, you know, it doesn't matter where you live in this great country of ours. If you live out in the bush or the remote parts of the country, you should still have the same access to education that kids down here in the city do. I think it's important to have that equality, because you and I, you know, a school kid from the bush and a school kid from the city, they both went through, you know, graduated year 12 and they front up for a job. You want to know that, you know, they've got some equal footing when it comes to an opportunity, or they can compete equally for that job. At the moment, I don't think our education system allows for that competitiveness.
Yeah, no, it's good to think that everyone will have the same opportunities and everybody will be on the same level.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I did some schooling up in the Torres Strait as well. So, you know, you can see the difference.
Yeah, and look, I talked to a lot of young people like yourself, Lacey, who I think, you know, and it happened to me, you know, I did my schooling up in the Tablelands, and, you know, the LTE school, even though I might have, you know, say you get an 810 or 890 TE score, you know, your 890 sometimes doesn't necessarily equate to an 890 that people down in Brisbane or, you know, in the southeast corner, graduates there have. And it's about subject selection. It's about, you know, you're only able to do Maths 2 as opposed to, or Maths B as opposed to Maths A, you know, and stuff like that, just because of the geographic location that you're at. So, yeah, you know, it's a policy that I care about. I'm a father, you know. I want my kids to grow up having the best education opportunities that, or the best education experience that this country should offer them, so that when they do graduate, they can take advantage of some of the great opportunities that are out there. Jobs are another important one. You know, we're seeing unemployment here, particularly within young people. Yeah. It's something that I think is a bit challenging at the moment. We need to be able to start creating jobs, but we also need to start protecting jobs. And that's going to be really, really important. That's something that I bring now to the campaign. We see a state government that has been cutting jobs, particularly in health, and it disturbs me. It concerns me greatly. If you start cutting the capacity of Queensland Health to deliver essential health services to remote and isolated parts of Queensland, particularly Indigenous communities, and we know the facts, we know the figures, you know, the gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people when it comes to life expectancy is 17 years. I don't know how we close that gap when we start cutting TI hospital, cutting jobs at a TI hospital. I don't know how we close that gap when we start cutting jobs out of the Northern Peninsula area's health service when it comes to delivering primary healthcare services. They're some of my concerns, you know, and definitely within the Cape, you know, I understand that, like I said before, the electorate's diverse. It's a large electorate, and we've got people up there. Whilst the population density may not be great up there, there is still a population of Australians up there, of Queenslanders up there, that should have the same services or should not have health services cut from their communities because are penalised because of where they live. I think it's really important that we actually protect those jobs.
And are they part of the key policies of your campaign?
Yep, definitely. You know, education reform, health services. We're committed to, you know, primary healthcare services in Cairns, in far north Queensland. NBN's another one, the National Broadband Network. And whilst it's going to be rolled out in the Cape and the Torres Strait in a different format and a bit long, it's going to take the infrastructure, the size of the project, it's going to mean that it's going to take a bit more time before we get NBN up there. I think it's you know, it's a great thing for the country. It's one of those nation building things. It's the opportunity to close that gap between, you know, can you imagine, you know, you've said you spent a bit of time on the Torres Straits and TI. Imagine not having to fly to Cairns or coming from an outer island from Cairns to Cairns to have some sort of medical consultation where you can do it over the internet. You know, it cuts down on that time, expense. And, you know, I do know that people sometimes have to pocket their own, you know, they have to pay for the expense of coming down for these consultations out of their own pocket, or they got to get reimbursed. And I think, you know, there's a long time, there's a huge waiting period before time you actually lodge a reimbursement and you get that money back. And for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, you know, it's a big bite at it. And we know about the cost of airfares, you know, at the Torres Strait and the Cape. They're really big, you know. So if people are asked to fork out that money just for a consultation that they can actually do at home in the comfort of their own home or in their health clinic back in their home community or island, where they can sit in front of a computer monitor and have that consultation and get all that critical advice and be able to do basically a consultation over the internet, I think that's a lot better. It brings us all closer. It closes that tyranny of distance. And it's I think it's an investment in quality of life for people up in the remote parts of the state.
Just quickly to touch back on the school reform, I just wanted to ask, will that include all resources and equipment?
Yeah, definitely. It's not just the loadings and all of the funding increases across schools in Queensland. And look, I want to make the point, no school will be worse off under the federal government school improvement plan. No school at all. And there's a myth out there and there's a misconception out there that's being peddled. So people saying, oh, well, school, there are going to be some schools that have been disadvantaged. Every school will actually have increased funding, and it will be for that. It'll be for better resources. It'll be for, you know, better quality teachers. It's going to be better for better classrooms and so forth. There's a whole range of areas that we can improve in remote and isolated parts of Queensland and schoolrooms, in classrooms, that we can improve to make sure that kids have the same genuine experience, education experience, that they have down here in the city. You know, the Queensland government has yet to sign off on the federal government school improvement package. New South Wales and Victoria have, Tasmania and South Australia, and I think Northern Territory and WA are still holding out like Queensland. You know, so kids in Western Sydney right now will enjoy the benefits of this, of what, you know, the school improvement package will mean. Kids on the Western Cape won't. If it's good enough for Western Sydney, why the hell isn't it good enough for Western Cape?
And will the NBN help to cut out dial-up and slower?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, the internet speed and not only just the speed, but also the capacity is going to be great. And that's the difference. That's going to be the fundamental difference between a coalition party, the Liberal National Party's broadband network. Ours is solely and wholly relied on fibre to the home, not fibre to copper, which is... you know, the Liberal National Party's policy is about still using some old infrastructure, particularly copper wiring. And I think somebody said it's like going for, you know, hopping in a Porsche and then hopping in a Valiant when you get to the copper, you know. That's the difference in terms of speed. And I think, you know, like I said, Australia has to now join the rest of the world when it comes to high-speed internet. And I think the federal Labor government has been really, really clear about what they want to do and what they think this can do. And under a, you know, coalition government, they're going to actually pay $5,000 extra on average for a household to connect to this network. Our expense isn't anywhere near that.
Okay, yeah, because I always remember sitting at home and you'd have to wait 10 minutes to get on the internet because you had to wait for the dial-up.
There's still parts of Queens, of the country, that are still relying on dial-up. How old is that? So it's time for us to join the rest of the world and make sure that. And look, this is nation-building infrastructure. It's not just about you and I having, you know, fast internet at home. It's about businesses being able to sort of, you know, be more efficient and effective in their business. We're going to see a lot of industry, I think, come to Cairns, new industry come to Cairns, because now all of a sudden they're going to be able to have this access to broadband, a broadband network that they get down in the city, speeds that they're going to get down in the city. Well, this broadband network will actually increase speeds all over the country. So it's going to bring us, I think, there are going to be economic benefits as well as quality of life benefits.
Yeah, I know personally that the NBN will help us out here at Kieran and Blackstar trying to get all of our songs and content up to the communities up in the Cape. So,
and I think nobody really knows, and not a lot of people have a real understanding that in terms of how we deliver education, in terms of how we deliver health services, law and order, you know, entertainment, media, multimedia, NBN's going to touch a lot of our lives in so many different ways, whether we're operating a business, whether it's family stuff, whether we, you know, the old school of the air, you know, education's going to be changed the way you deliver it. You know, just the, I think the technology is going to, like I said, improve the quality of life of people. And no matter where you live, once again, going back to services, you should have the right to the same services. Once again, it's about equality. You know, it's about bringing, closing that gap too between the people that are living on the fringes and people that are living in the cities.
What are your travel plans for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, look, there's obviously, you know, we've got 2 weeks left and I'm going to try and cram as much in that 2 weeks. I'm not going to travel as much on the final week. So this week's a big week. I'm here in Cairns tomorrow, then I think tomorrow evening, I think I fly out to Thursday Island. I'll be there overnight and for the day and on Wednesday and possibly Thursday, and then I'll be cruising over to Bamiga, the NPA, and I'm looking forward to catching up with people over there. So great to catch up with, and talk to some of our supporters up there, but also learn about some of the issues up there. Haven't been back to Bamiga since the days of, since I worked for SkyTrans. I like Bamiga. It's a great spot. The NPA is a great spot. So that's my travel for this week, and hopefully you'll do a little bit more travel over the weekend and perhaps, you know, ride at home. Ride the election home here in Cairns and, do it. Get out and do what we've been doing, knocking on doors, talking to people.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about? Is there anything that you'd like to...
Oh, look, you know, discuss a major announcement today the announcement is around Disability Care Australia. Under Rudd, re-elected, Kevin Rudd government today, we've announced that we will... roll out disability care here in Cairns in 2016, July 2016. We will have a disability care hub here, which will employ up to 70 people. What that means is that people in Far North Queensland will have one of the first sites in Queensland. It will be Cairns, where we'll start looking at rolling out our disability care policy reforms here in Far North Queensland. And that's going to have benefits for people all over the north. Cairns will be a hub to service, the Cape and the Torres Strait. So good news there. That'll happen in 2016, July. Cairns is, one of the first sites in the state. And that's just been announced today. Well, I'm really happy about that. Disability care is about making sure that we, changing the way we care for some of the most vulnerable people in our society. Not one of us don't have a family member or know of family members that either have a severe disability or are caring for people with a severe disability. It touches all of us. These are some of the policies that I really care about and I think are really important. And I don't really care which government does this. I just think it needs to happen regardless of what political party you're from. A society where we're caring and protecting and serving our communities most vulnerable is a great place to live in.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening to QRM and Blackstar's interview with Billy Gordon, the Labor candidate for Leichhardt. For the full interview, please go to qram.com.au.